Several decades ago, a Lutheran pastor wrote a commentary on the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. He entitled it, "The Crucial Hours." That word, crucial, is derived from the Latin word for cross, crucio. In that sense, the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday were crucial because they all led to the cross. Now, since then, the word has come to mean kind of decisive or critical moments. And so for our midweek Lenten services this year, we're following this theme, the crucial hours. We're looking at those decisive, those critical hours, and the way in which they were not only in the way that they were just that, crucial, not just for Jesus and his disciples at the time, but for you and me today. Tonight, we look at the crucial moment when Jesus said, "I will keep the Passover." Yeah, duh. Might seem kind of obvious. Of course Jesus is going to keep the Passover. It'd be like not celebrating Christmas. Doesn't everybody celebrate Christmas? He said, "I will keep the Passover," and he was going to keep God's command to do so. He was going to remember, and celebrate, and rejoice that deliverance so many centuries before, when God brought Egypt and its Pharaoh to its knees, delivering his people from the hand of the Egyptians. Moses commanded Pharaoh to let God's people go, and Pharaoh refused, and there were the 10 plagues, and finally, God sent the angel of death to kill every firstborn male in every home, except when that angel of death came to the home of an Israelite, and there, painted over the door, was the blood of the Lamb. The angel of death would pass over, and there was life, deliverance. Egypt brought to its knees, Israel delivered. And so as you can imagine, both on that first Passover and on every remembrance since, there was much rejoicing. And so God commanded every year that this picture of the Lamb of God be celebrated, not just in remembrance, but in anticipation of the one true Lamb of God, who would be the ultimate Lamb of God, the fulfillment of the Passover, who would save spiritual Israel and deliver all spiritual Israelites to eternal life. And so while it may seem obvious to us that Jesus was going to keep the Passover that evening, I don't think it's too much of a stretch for us to realize that probably not every Jewish person that night was going to be doing just that. There were undoubtedly some who thought it maybe, you know, it wasn't a big deal if we didn't celebrate the Passover, you know, every year. I'm sure God wouldn't mind if we took a few years off here and there. I mean, there was that whole, you know, keeping the lamb as a pet and then killing it at the end of the week and, you know, all the bloody, gory stuff. You know, we don't have to do this every year, do we? And then there were those who said, well, there are some fun aspects of this. You know, it's nice to get together with everybody. And, well, the roasted lamb really is pretty delicious. But we don't have to do all the little details, right? I mean, surely God didn't mean for us to do everything every year. And then we know for sure that there were some who were a little distracted. You know, for them, their idea of celebrating the Passover was fastidiously making sure that all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. But if I'm a little distracted this year, if it's just more outward stuff and not my heart in it, surely you'll understand, Lord, because, you know, we have this whole Jesus problem. And I'm kind of distracted about how we're going to take him out so that we can make sure that we do all these details going forward. Surely you'll be understanding if my half-hearted observance, well, let's just say I have a lot of pressing things to attend to this year. Maybe next year will be better. Yeah, if there was anyone who could have thought, I think I have more pressing things on my mind this year, wouldn't it have been Jesus? I mean, the equivalent of our Senate today plotting to kill him. And if that weren't enough, he knew he had one amongst his closest who was going to betray him. And if that weren't enough, all of his closest seemed to be arguing about which of them was the greatest. Like they just totally missed the point of everything. And then, of course, Jesus fully knew what was going to happen. He had all of that weighing on him. If there was anybody who could have said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to take a year off this year. Let's just let this whole Passover thing slide, maybe just this once. If there was anyone who could have said, I need some me time, I need to put myself first right now, it would have been Jesus. But he didn't. Instead, he observed the Passover. He kept God's command in every way. Keeping God's commands in every way. I think we get the concept. We just can't do it, right? I'll keep the third commandment and go to church next week, you know, when it's a little more convenient for me. Don't have so much going on. I'll keep that eighth commandment next time, you know, when those tidbits aren't quite so juicy. Not such a big deal. The gossip is pretty good this time around, and I really want to hear what's going on. You know, I'll keep that fifth commandment in the future, but right now, that guy right there, after what he did to me, he deserves my hate. You know, I really try to keep the important commandments, and I'm okay at that, but, you know, the others, you know, 85, 90%, that's good enough, right? Something. It's got to count for something, right? Only it doesn't. Because you and I know that whatever level we aim for, whatever we actually attain, well, it counts for nothing. Paul was paraphrasing from Deuteronomy chapter 27 when he wrote to the Galatians. He said, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Because we have said in our hearts, I'm not going to keep that command, or I'm not going to continually keep that command. We deserve to be cursed. We deserve to be lost forever. That's why it's so important. In fact, it was crucial for Jesus to keep the Passover that year. It was so crucial for Jesus to observe and keep God's commands, because if Jesus was going to do what you and I couldn't, if he was going to be our substitute, then he was going to have to keep every single one of God's commands, every one of them perfectly. And perfectly he did. No dots on I's missed. No crosses on T's forgotten. He did it all and perfectly well. In fact, we see it that night. I mean, he took charge of the whole affair. He arranged for a place where he could celebrate with his disciples. He appointed Peter and John to make preparations to ensure that they would have a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus served as the host for the meal himself, distributing unleavened bread. I mean, we look at that night, and there are so many beautiful, vivid examples of Jesus' love for his disciples and for you and me. But don't miss the importance of Jesus keeping the Passover. Don't miss how crucial it was for Jesus to celebrate that Passover meal. Because you know, not only was he celebrating that meal, he was about to fulfill it. Not only was he serving that picture of the Lamb of God, by the next day, he would be the Lamb of God. Just as John the Baptizer pointed out on the shores of the Jordan River, as he fulfilled that Passover meal with disciples, he would become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He would go to that cross. He would be the Passover lamb. He would die in the place of sinful sinners like you and me. There he paid for every time that we have failed to keep God's commands, that we have refused to keep them, that we have fallen short. And because he did it perfectly, guess what? We don't need to celebrate the Passover anymore. Jesus fulfilled it by being that Lamb of God, giving himself once for all for you. How do you respond to that? How do you say thank you for that? How can you love him in return for how he has first loved you? The Apostle John tells us this is love for God, that we keep his commands. That we show our love and thanksgiving for him when we prioritize preaching and the word in our lives and homes. When we shut down the gossip, when we check the hate that rises up in our hearts, when we strive for 100% in keeping and living his commands, knowing that we're already covered by his grace, compelled by his love. We have the strength to do it through him who loves you, who lives in you and who lives through you by the power of his Spirit. So throughout this season of Lent, observe, remember, celebrate how Jesus kept all of God's commands for you, and then rejoice by giving thanks, keeping his commands, compelled by his love, assured of his forgiveness, confident in his promises. You can do it. Giving praise to him in everything. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.